All right, for today, we do want to chase this kind of same theme that we've started in our morning studies, and it's the theme of faithfulness, right? So you guys kind of concluded up 2 Timothy. We're going to be in Colossians, so we're going to deal with the same author, just a different letter to a different group of people, trying to understand this idea of being faithful. And we're going to do it with a little thought we're going to call the unsung faithful, the unsung faithful. And so with this being Mother's Day, this seems to be a good tie-in for mothers, right? Mothers tend to be people who are the unsung faithful, right? So what's it mean to be unsung? Anybody, when you think of unsung, what's it mean? Nobody knows about them, okay? Unrecognized. Anybody else? That's all in the right vein. If you look it up in a dictionary, it says not honored or not praised or uncelebrated. And often that seems to be mothers, right? They tend to get these roles that nobody really wants, but somebody's got to do. And it tends to be the mom who's willing to take that on specifically as it relates to her children or her grandchildren. So moms are often uncelebrated, unpraised, and without honor. But I want you to think about it this way for a minute. We've had 44 presidents in the history of this country. How many of their mothers can we name? I'm not asking us to start naming them because I don't know. But did you think we could name 44? No, I just wonder, how is it that you can get to be the most kind of prominent leader in this country and we don't have a clue who your mother is and what her name is? Because your mom is an unsung hero often. Maybe it could be an athlete. You know, there's a lot of famous athletes, a lot of famous bands or singers, or actors or actresses, business owners, a lot of wealthy people on the planet that we know, but we don't know their mother. Right? So, do you know the mother of Albert Pujols? Or is that getting too touchy? He's been gone long enough, hasn't he? Do you know the mother of Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Do you know the mother of Rory McIlroy? Bill Gates? We don't know their moms, right? Did they have mothers? Obviously. All right. Were they just not important? All right. They're very important, right? But for whatever reason, we've just not become aware of who they are or what their name, not even their names, right? And I would go as far as to say you've probably had some influential people in your life that you cannot name their mother. I've had some good friends from college who have been an influence for me and kind of a steady goes it here as we go through life together that I couldn't tell you their mom's name. I've seen them, and I know I've been introduced to them, but I just don't know her, okay? And so you may have people like that in your life who have been an influence to you, and you don't even know the name of the person who has been maybe the most prominent, influential person in their life. So every year, once a year, we've got this date on a calendar that rolls around and we get all excited, right? Happy Mother's Day. And then mothers go back to their role of being the unsung faithful. And so we do honor mothers today, and I hope you'll take opportunity to express that maybe to someone in this room or someone in your life who has been that sort of role model, sort of mother. But let's kind of flip the coin for a minute. Let's shift gears to the Bible for a second. The Bible tells us a lot about sung faithful people. S-U-N-G. That means we've sung their praise. We've sung their honor. They've been celebrated. Who are some people in the Bible who've been faithful and who've been known to be faithful? God. Is it, say God? Paul, I'm sorry. Moses and Abraham. David.
I'm reading in the Old Testament.
Okay. Timothy's mother and grandmother, all right? Eunice and Lois. Thank you. I couldn't remember the other one. Anybody else you think of as faithful? Job. Ma'am? Paul. So, a lot of prominent people, right? If you look at Hebrews 11, we've been in Hebrews 12 the last 3 weeks. The chapter before we've talked about a little bit. There it lists 16 individuals who have been known to be of faith, right? It calls the person by name and it says, like, Abel by faith, or Moses by faith, or Noah by faith, or Abraham by faith, or Isaac by faith, Joseph by faith. And so you get a prominent list there, and then it goes to a point where it says, and all the prophets, and there were many others, right? So out of the Bible, there are hundreds of names. Most of those we cannot pronounce, and that will be no different here today. So you may laugh your way through your pastor's rendering of this word here in just a minute. But I would go so far to say as 99% of the people who've ever walked this planet have been part of the unsung faithful. The unsung faithful. We've talked about 16 or maybe 18 names out of hundreds of names. And they're just in what's recorded in history here, as far as the Bible times are concerned. From then on, there's been many Christians that we don't have a clue who they are, right? Don't know their names, don't know where they live, don't know what their professions were, whether or not they were married, how old they lived to be, know nothing about them, and yet they were faithful in their time. So our goal here today is to try to encourage us that we're probably going to fall into this category of being the unsung faithful. So there probably won't be a parade celebrating us. No honor, no praise, no celebration in those sorts of things. Nor do we pursue that, correct? We're not after that sort of adoration or that sort of praise. But it is important to look how to live and be faithful even as someone who is unsung. And so we're going to do that here out of Colossians chapter 4. So if you've got a Bible, let's go that direction here. And we're going to read verses 2 through 9 here in just a minute. But we've got Paul writing this letter, and he's going to conclude this letter to this group of believers. He's going to send it with this man that we're going to talk about today. And we're going to look at this unsung faithful man. So his name is Tychicus. Go ahead and laugh. Tychicus. You remember Tychicus? Remember all the stories about... We don't remember anything about Tychicus, right? And so we're going to hopefully walk out of here today knowing at least the name Tychicus and what it meant, who he was, and how that applies to our life here today. So let's go here. Colossians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 2, and we'll go through verse 9. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Here we go. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. So this morning, I want to look at this unsung faithful man named Tychicus. And we'll use his name several times here this morning, so it'll be stuck in your head when you walk out of here today. All right? But three things we'll note as it relates to living this life here, being faithful, pursuing faithfulness, and what that looked like for him, how that can be applied to our life here today as well. I pray this encourages us as we walk out of this place. That we'll walk out here maybe challenged, but also joyful, glad that we've heard the word of the Lord and that maybe it's given us a next step or clarity or some refreshing or brought us back to point, whatever it is that God may desire to work in us here today. So three things we'll note, okay? If you want to follow along in your bulletin, you can, but as always, you don't have to. So let's start here. The faithful is what we're going to call these people. The faithful to God are identifiable by what they do. The faithful to God are identifiable by what they do. And so Paul introduces us to a man, and his name is what? So a few of you have got it. Tychicus. I always want to call him Tychicus. That's not right. Tychicus, and I'll probably say that here throughout this message. But very little is known about this guy, okay? His name is mentioned briefly five times in the New Testament, and that's all we get. And most of it's in just a little sentence. I sent him here. I sent him there, and that's all we get. So we know that he was from Asia. We know that he was a believer. But I believe one of the most prominent things that Paul saw in this man's life is the one thing that he writes about. What is it? It's faithfulness. It's how he characterized this man who is little known for you and I here to learn from today. Something great about Tychicus. Let's go back to verse 7. Verse 7 here, Colossians 4. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, he's a faithful minister, and he's a fellow servant in the Lord. Now, I don't know that there is anything greater that could be said of anybody in this room or on this planet than that he or she was faithful. We could talk about abilities. They could start a business. They could make money. They could make grass grow. They could almost make dirt grow. They had such a green thumb. We could talk about their ideas in arts or in crafts or abilities that they might have, and that may partially describe them. But there's nothing greater that we could say of anybody on this planet than they were or they are faithful to God. You remember Jesus telling the story in Matthew 25 about the parable about a master and his servants, or a master and his managers. Some of your translations will call it talents. Others will call it gold. The idea here is that there was a master who gave three guys some money. He gave one guy how much? Five. He gave another guy two, and he gave another guy one. And so we go on to see how these guys invested. Five and two were faithful with what they had been given, right? And we remember here this morning how the master then is going to reply to their faithfulness. So Matthew 25, verse 23. His master said to him, and this is the guy that did two. He said the exact same thing to the guy with five. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What did he say? Well done, what? Good and faithful servant. Okay, well, that's important. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been, what's the next word? You've been faithful over a little, and so I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now notice, the master does not brag about the ability of the steward. He doesn't brag about the talent of the two money guy or the five money guy. He's going to boast about one characteristic, and what is it? Their faithfulness. He's going to boast about their faithfulness. And the same thing is true here with Tychicus. Paul says that he was a fellow servant, that he was a faithful minister. And so Tychicus could have had all sorts of abilities. He could have had this eloquence when he spoke where just people were drawn in. He could have been very wealthy. He could have been very handsome. He could have had all sorts of skills that would have made him a good leader to pattern your business after. We don't know. What we do know, though, is Paul describes him as a man who was faithful. He says he demonstrates faithfulness. And so here's the idea. Those who are faithful will demonstrate it by what they do. Those who are faithful will demonstrate it by what they do, not by what they say. And so I can stand here and command myself to be faithful, and I can stand here and commend myself to go out of this place and be faithful. But if I am not living faithful, what does that make me? It makes me unfaithful. Right? And if I'm claiming faithfulness, going out of here, going to be unfaithful, what it really makes me is a liar. And so here we're making it clear. Those who are faithful are not people who say it. They aren't people who have clever cliches. They're people who go out and live it. They go out and demonstrate it day in and day out. We don't know anything about Tychicus other than he walked faithfully. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that doing saves anybody, correct? You can't do enough to earn the favor of God. We can't do enough to earn the forgiveness of God. However, those who've been saved by God will go do. They will be faithful. James writes about that extensively. Faith without works is stupid. It's useless. It has no merit whatsoever. And so it's important that we see here today, let's be faithful. How are we going to be faithful? By walking out and doing things that are faithful and honoring to God. The faithful are identifiable by what they do, not by what they say. All right, at least not alone by what they say. All right, secondly here this morning, let's talk further about the faithful. The faithful to God are going to be an encourager, and they're going to encourage the faith of their fellow workers. Those who are faithful, and here it is Tychicus, are an encouragement to those who are also working alongside them. And so Paul calls Tychicus here in our text a fellow servant. That's to say, we're on the same page. We're on the same team. It doesn't mean that we're at the same level of maturity or depth of understanding of God. It means we have the same God, we're of the same spirit, we're after the same cause, we're locked arms, we're serving this thing out together. Right? Sink or swim, we're dying or we're living, we're going to weep, we're going to rejoice, we're going to burden bear, whatever. We're going to do all this right here together. Now we read this earlier, when Paul was writing this, where was he? Do you remember? Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison, so Tychicus must have been a great encouragement to Paul while he was in prison. And I say that because of what Paul wrote for us here in verse 8. So let's go back to the text here, Colossians 4, verse 8. And here's what he says about Tychicus as he's writing to these Colossian believers. He says, "I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And so Paul knew something about Tychicus. What did he know? All right, he knew he was faithful and he knew he was an encourager. He knew the encouragement of being with Tychicus. That's why he could send Tychicus with confidence. I'm sending him to you, and I hope he does you well. I hope he doesn't turn and burn. Is that what he says? I'm sending him to you, and he will encourage your hearts. He's done it to me. He'll do it to anybody. That's the character of this man. He's this faithful man who is laboring for the Lord, and his faithful fellowship, or his fellow being a fellow servant, is an encouragement not only to Paul, but to anybody whose life his would touch. And so no doubt here we've got these people who've heard about Paul in prison. What do they need to hear? They need a little bit of encouragement. The Bible talks about there are those who will cower away. There are those who will be afraid when terrible things or persecution comes. They will just fall away. And so that could have been the case of these people. He's coming to strengthen not just their heart. The heart here is the idea of their will or of their faith. And so I'm sending him to you, a faithful man, to strengthen your faith. And it's no different for you and I today. Listen, the world that we live in can cause us to want to cower as Christians, even within our own country, right? There's pressure. There's persecution. There's name-calling. There is this withdrawal. There is this belittling, like you have no legitimate reason to even open your mouth. And so we're experiencing that today. In other countries, they're experiencing things far worse. But it's real. And so we look at our planet, and we could be afraid. We could cower. What do we need? We need encouragement. Where are we going to find encouragement? All right, we need it from faithful people. We need it from faithful people. We need men and women who are going to walk faithfully in the face of persecution and not just dare it to bring it on, but are going to just live lovingly. They're going to live with grace. As we read earlier, they're going to let their speech be seasoned with salt. They're going to love the Lord, and they're going to model faithfulness even in the midst of difficulty. That's what these people needed. And I believe that's what you and I need here as well today. Otherwise, we're going to retreat and we're going to cower in fear. And so I just want to remind you today that even by your presence here this morning, you are an encouragement. You tracking with me? When faithful people demonstrate faithfulness, it encourages the faith of other people. And when people say, I'm faithful and don't show, it has the ability to discourage those who are faithful. They're not willing to stand. They can't stand. They're not committed. So what about me? I guess I'll kind of succumb also. I'll grow a little weaker. If they're not going to do it, if they're not all in, I'm not all in either. And so we tend to fade. We tend to withdraw. What we need are men, women, faithful, who just show up. Who just show up. They just show up. They're just dependable. They're trustworthy. You can count on them kind of people, right? And so are you that kind of person today? Are you that kind of faithful follower of Jesus who walks into a place like this and people are immediately encouraged because they know not only that you're here, but when you go out of this place, you're living your life with faith? That's the kind of people here that we want to be. That's the kind of man that Tychicus was. I know he will refresh your heart. I know he will strengthen your faith because he's done it for me. Listen, there are times when we walk into this room, and I'm sure you may walk out of here, and hopefully it's not very often, but you walk out going, man, I didn't get a whole lot from that today. Well, let me ask you, what did you bring today? What did you bring to the table? What encouragement did you offer? What strength of faith did you bolster in somebody else? What compliment did you give to somebody that they desperately needed that you didn't even know? What lifted voice made somebody else in the room go, if they're going to sing, then I'll sing? It has this contagious effect on people. So Tychicus was a beautiful model of faithfulness and how it encourages those who are also fellow laborers, co-workers under the same banner, working towards the same cause, fulfilling the same mission. So I just want you to understand, never underestimate this truth. You may feel like, I just don't have a whole lot to offer. Or I don't know what my gifts are. I just don't feel like I've got that many gifts. I don't really know that I can be an encouragement. When you walk through the doors and you participate here, you are an encouragement. You are an encouragement. Don't ever underestimate that. All right? So you walk in, you smile, you say, man, I can't write a song. I can't either. But you can come in and pat somebody on the back and you can smile and say, man, it's great to see you. Right? I've been praying for you, or you've been on my mind this week, or is there anything I can do for you? I'd love to help you. Or how's your child? Or how's your spouse? How was your trip? When we take opportunity to invest in other people, it shows that we care, and it's going to strengthen their joy. It's going to strengthen their faith. When faithful people are faithful, it matters. And when faithful people are unfaithful, it also matters as well. One strengthens our faith, and one can be, it doesn't have to be, but it can be detrimental to those who are co-laborers or co-workers there. So just when you don't know what else to do, what? Be faithful. Now, I've shared that with you I don't know how many times about my grandpa. One of the last conversations I had with him, we were talking about the church. Grandpa, how do we reach people today? And he said, I don't know, son. This is a different time, and this was several years ago. I don't know, son. All I can tell you to do is you just be faithful. You just be faithful. You hang on, you stay firm, you persevere, and you be faithful. And he got in that champagne-colored Cadillac, and he took off for home. And that's a legacy that my grandpa left, modeled for me, that bolsters my faith today. Because grandpa was faithful. Not because he was pastor. He was faithful because he was a follower of Jesus. He was committed to that end. That was the goal of his life. And he fulfilled it. We need men and women. And I'm not saying you're not. I'm just trying to encourage you to be more. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. You don't know what else to do. You can stand up and be faithful. And so the faithful here are identifiable by what they do. The faithful are people who encourage their fellow church communities simply because they are faithful. They're a refresher of our hearts. And then third here this morning as it relates to being the faithful people or the unsung faithful. The faithful here are, they are useful in the mission of the church. The faithful are useful in the mission of the church in this work that's going on here. And so Tychicus was very useful to the work. We just said he was an encourager. He encouraged the heart of Paul, who would go on to write letters, who would go on to get out of prison and continue to travel to share the gospel so that other people could hear, other churches could be established, could begin to grow, be built. He was a partner in that work. He was going to go encourage the heartless or the fear of these Colossian believers. Paul wrote to Titus and said, hey, Titus, I'm sending you who? Guess who? Tychicus. And I'm going to send him to you so that you'll come to me. Titus was a church leader. Titus, you need a break. Titus, I need a refresher. I want to see your face. And so to get you to me, I'm going to send Tychicus. He said the exact same thing to Timothy. Timothy, I got to see you, bud. I'm missing you. I just need to hug your neck. I love you and I'm praying for you. And so I'm going to send Tychicus. And he's going to stand in your place and he's going to preach the word. And he's going to be this guy who is tested. And he's going to be faithful and he's not going to quit so that you can come to me. That's the kind of character that faithfulness, the unsung faithful, bring. Listen, would you ever send somebody who was unfaithful to lead another church? That's a letter I would dread. Hey, Pastor Corey. Leader in our church was unfaithful and they've left. They're coming to your church. Here's a letter. You'd be like, really? I'm going to send it back. Hey, Pastor, what's the rest of the story? Help me out here. Because if they're not faithful with you, they're not going to be faithful with me. You don't send unfaithful people to be faithful somewhere else. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. And so what do we want to see cultivated in people first? Faithfulness. See, sometimes we say, hey, we've got Joe over here. We've got, I should have used a random name. I'm not talking about Joe. Just anybody in particular. Robert, thank you. It's the biggest blank in my life right there. I'm terrified at this moment. What was it? Robert. We're going to send Robert away because that thought went with him. Wow. So this is what it feels like. So let's go back to our text. You don't send somebody who's going to be unfaithful to go faithfully serve somebody else. You serve the faithful. Oh, here's where we were going. Thank you, Lord. These who are faithful, that's where you want to start. See, sometimes we think if Robert, we're going to help Robert get more faithful to God by giving Robert a task to do. So, Robert, you're unfaithful, but how about teaching this class? And what we're thinking is, Robert, because you're going to have to be here every week, then that's going to make you more committed. And you know what that's going to do to an unfaithful heart? It's going to make it drudgery. I don't want to be there. I can't believe I agreed to that. Why am I doing this? Most often, accountability does not bring faithfulness, but the other way around. You start with being faithful, and then you get a job. You start with being somebody, and I'm not saying perfect. I'm saying I'm dedicated. I'm committed. I'm trying. And we're going to offer you that next step, get you plugged in, because you're valuable just as Tychicus was. Rather than saying, hey, you show up once a week or once a month or once every 6 months here, we're going to give you a job so you'll show up more often. That's backward thinking. And that typically backfires. We send the faithful. Send the faithful. Send the faithful, and they'll be faithful somewhere else. That's the story here of Tychicus. Verse 8 and 9, Paul writes, catch this, all right? Colossians 4, I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, and Onesimus is going to need some kind of somebody having his back at this point. Onesimus is running from home, and he's going back. And so Tychicus is going to be an encourager of grace here with Philemon. He says he's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So listen to this confidence. I'm sending him, he's coming, and he will tell you. Do you find anything in that that sounds a little bit shaky, like it may not happen? I'm sending him, he's coming, and he will tell you. Okay? Paul has confidence in this guy. Why? Because this guy is faithful. That's absolutely right. This guy is faithful, and so he knows as I send him, he's going to say what needs to be said, and as he comes to you, he's going to tell you everything about us. He's going to listen to you, and he's going to bring that back, and we're going to be strengthened and encouraged together. And so Tychicus was this guy who was faithful, and his faithfulness led to confidence and usefulness. His faithfulness led to confidence and usefulness. So here again, was Tychicus wealthy? We don't know. Was Tychicus good looking? We don't know. We know he's got a hard name to pronounce, right? We don't know anything about his mother, by the way. Did he have great ability? Right? We might say yes because he was an encourager, because he was faithful, and so he had those kind of qualities, but we don't know if he was great with a hammer or with a knife. We don't know if he was a skilled soldier. Right? We don't know what his talents were. What we know here is that he was faithful, and that faithfulness translated into confidence, and that confidence translated into usefulness. You are useful to the mission of the church. We are when we are faithful. And so where there's confidence or faithfulness, there'll be confidence, and where there's confidence, there'll be usefulness. And Paul's going to illustrate this also here to Timothy. He's going to write this a different letter. Same writer, but it's the same concept. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to find the story here of a couple guys who really fit the bill of where we're headed here as we begin to close. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9 begins, do your best to come to me quickly. So this is Paul writing to Timothy. So he's saying here again, I want to see you. You got to come to me. Verse 10, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and he's gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. And so let's start with the first guy here. His name is Demas. Demas was a partner here with Paul. And Demas, somewhere along the way, became somebody that was not dependable. He wasn't faithful. And he abandoned Paul, all right? Paul says he has deserted me in my time of need. He's left me. And so where there's a lack of faithfulness, again, there's a lack of what? There's a lack of confidence, and then there's a lack of usefulness. There's a lack of usefulness there in the mission of the church. And so that's a rough place to be if you're Paul or if you're Demas. You ever been there? Set out to be faithful, and yet you just went out and screwed it up somewhere, and now you feel like, I can't do squat for the Lord. Nobody's going to trust me anymore. I've ruined my testimony. They're not going to listen to me. I'm not going to be given an opportunity simply because of what I've done. I just don't deserve it. That could be the story of Demas. I tried to be faithful, and I was, and I just got scared or whatever. It says he loved the world. He's just turned away from being a helpful partner to Paul. Is Demas ruined forever? No, we don't know his story, but the truth of the matter is we know that he's not ruined forever because there's another guy in the story who makes this clear, and this guy's name is Mark. Remember the story of Mark? Acts chapter 15, we've got Paul setting out on a missionary journey with Barnabas, and Barnabas says, hey, let's take John Mark with us, and Paul says, no can do. I'm not taking him with me. Why? Because we set out on a trip, and on our way, he turned back. He left us. He balked. He said he was all in, and then halfway there, he quit. I've got no use for Mark. And so the Bible says there was, in Acts 15, you'll read it, there was a great divide between Paul and Barnabas. One mission team becomes two. Now what we know about Mark, though, is that he was down, but he wasn't out. He had messed up, but he wasn't ruined. He had been unfaithful, but he still could play a role. Unfaithfulness did not have to be his name. And so here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there in verse 11, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, the only one with me right now is Luke. And so who does he ask for? Get Mark. Get Mark. And you know what he says? Go get Mark because, verse 11, he is helpful to me in my ministry. He is helpful to me in my ministry. So listen, you may be sitting here today and say, there's been a point in my life where I was faithful and then I fell away for a while. I was a faithful submitter and to the Lord, a faithful and committed, devoted follower of Jesus to these church people, and I backed out for a while. Being backed out doesn't mean you got to be backed out forever. Just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. You can bounce back from that. And we see that here with Mark. I wish we knew what Mark had done. Not to become unfaithful, but to earn the trust of Paul again, don't you? Something happened here in a few years where he went from, he's no good to me in my ministry, to, oh, if you bring anybody, you bring Mark. Because he's good for me. He's helpful to me in my ministry. And so I'm just telling you today, be encouraged. Don't count yourself out. You may have been out of church for 6 months. You may have been out of church since you were this big. You're not out. You still got opportunity. Remember we started this morning with this hourglass. There's still sands trickling through. Your life still matters. It still counts. And so why not make today a brand new, fresh day of faithfulness? Why not start all over? Just make a clean slate. I was here, and I've moved this direction, and this is not the guy or the girl that I want to be, and so I'm making a commitment to be this kind of person. I'm not going to be perfect. Nobody here today is calling you to be perfect. There's somebody who is, and therefore nobody else needs to be. However, that's our aim. That's what we strive for. And so I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're in that role. Maybe not. If that is you, think about it. You still have value. Your life matters. There's God purpose that flows from you. And so don't just count yourself out and say, I just messed up. I'll never be back. Just think about John Mark. You can walk out of here as a John Mark, or you can walk out of here as a Demas. And that decision, my friend, is up to you. What I pray and what I hope for me and what I pray and hope for you is that we will be people who will be faithful. We'll step up to the challenge. We'll answer the call. We'll be just like Tychicus. We'll be unsung people. It doesn't matter. Nobody has to know our name. It doesn't matter. But in our time, in our day, in our church, in our homes, in our communities, we need to be faithful. People before us stood in faithfulness, and they stood when it was hard. Our day may be hard. They need people who are going to stand and be faithful. And so I want to challenge you today. Be a Tychicus. I'll never be a Paul, and I don't need to be. I'll never be a Jacob. I'll never be a Moses or a Noah, as far as I know, but that's all right with me. I can be a Tychicus. I can be faithful. I can be identified by what I do. I can be an encourager to those that God has partnered me with by loving them and by being faithful to my role. And I can be somebody here who is useful in the mission of the church. I want to encourage you today. You may feel like you're not seeing any use or any good out of your life whatsoever. If you're being faithful, you know what is happening? Good is flowing from your life. And you may not see it and you may not fully understand it, but God is using your faithfulness, just as we said, to encourage people sitting all around here, to touch people who you live by or who you work with. They're paying attention. They're watching. Girls and boys that you go to school with, they're wanting to know about you. There's an interest there. So you be faithful. You hang on. You press on, right? We're taking our next steps, but what we're looking at here today is being like a Tychicus. Somebody who, regardless of the fame or not, regardless of the hardship or not, we're going to stand up and be counted as one of these unsung faithful people who will stand in our day. That's me. Is that you? I'm not perfect. You ask anybody in this room, right? But there's grace, and there's aim, there's desire, there's focus, there's intent, there's pursuit. And that's what we're looking for today from the church.